Today, open your Bibles if you have them. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. We will continue our series that we've been doing in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. The subtitle for the title for it is Love One Another. It says this: This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother Abel. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. A couple weeks ago, we did the first part of this, verses 1 through 10. And that was kind of, he was speaking in general areas, speaking generally. And in this part, he gets into some specifics. And the part that ties it together is verse 10. Verse 10 from last, 2 weeks ago, really. Verse 10 of 2 weeks ago. The first section of that kind of summarizes that paragraph. The second half of verse 10 summarizes or is the leadway into what we have here. And what he said in verse 10 was, "By this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother." So again, that first clause, he's summing up, and John says, a lifestyle of righteousness, a lifestyle of not sinning, is essential evidence of being a child of God. And then as you have that lifestyle, as you increase and you get to know God, and as you know more about him, sin starts to disappear. On the other hand, a lifestyle not of God, of living for the devil, of living there, is sinning. And so he's summing up that part in verse 10, and he's tying it to the part that we have now, which says, whoever does not do right is not of God, nor, and this is the part, nor he who does not love his brother. So he wants to go from the generals of that to the specific of what it means to love our brother. And that's what we want to talk about, is how we go about loving our brother. He's going from a discussion on Christians and our obligations and righteousness in general to a discussion on what we need to do in love. And John does not necessarily talk in straight lines. It's just not one to another, but he kind of talks in circular motions. And what he says, he'll come back around, and we've actually done that here, where what he's talking about now is kind of the same as what he was talking about in chapter 2. A little bit of chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, he was talking about love and going with that, and he was talking about the doctrine of God and who God is. And then he tied that in with love. And there was an oughtness to that and what we ought to do. And so now he's coming back around to it. So John talks in circular motions, and he comes back around. Every time he readdresses it, and we'll get to it a little bit, every time he readdresses it, he gets it at a deeper level. So Tim, can you fire? I don't have a slideshow for all of it or anything, but I do have the first part. I want to go back to when we started this, how we had the videos going or the PowerPoint going. So go ahead. And see as it comes down the side. Okay, let's stop there for a minute. I am writing about these things. He wants to write so we know about these things. It's light, and it's life and life. Now go ahead and hit the next one. Just hit the button once, the yellow flashy one. and love and confidence and born of God so that you may know. See, the whole chapter, the whole book is just these things kind of wrapping around themselves. And he readdresses them and readdresses them and comes back to them. And if we didn't get it the first time, hi, Brian, how you doing? If we didn't get it the first time, he's going to come back and readdress it and look at it from another angle, and hopefully we'll catch on to it. So go ahead and click it again. Okay, and this is the letter. You kind of might remember this from the beginning, the letter being delivered. It is 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. And so we want to look at that. We're coming back around, and you can let it sit there. We'll have another one a little bit later on, and we'll go with that. So he's kind of tying this and coming back to it and talking about love and what we need to do. And so in chapter 2, he did this with God's commandment and the assurance of knowing and the obedience of it, of knowing God and the obedience. And then he ends that section and says, he who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way that he walked. And so that's how he's ending that section, the oughtness. And remember, we were talking about walking as Christ walked. But how do we walk in the same way that Christ walked? And then he goes on verses 7 through 11 in talking about that. You know, and it was the whole thing of, this is the old commandment, but it's not an old commandment, it's a new commandment, and going back and forth with the old and the new. And the whole idea is that as Christ came, the idea to love people was something they had heard from the very beginning. They always knew that. But Christ came and showed them kind of a new way to love and taught a new thing of love and the true light, which was Jesus Christ. And so we're called to be the light. So that was chapter 2. And now in chapter 3, he's talking about it all over again and addressing it. But he's taking it from a different point. When he was talking in chapter 2, he was talking about God. And he was talking about it in the area of doctrine. And as he gets into this one, he's not talking as much about doctrine. He's in another area with it. And so we're going to continue. If you look in, John begins the discussion. If we look in verse 11, that is there, it says, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. What he's doing is he's now tying this to verse 10. And he says, that's the message. The message that you heard is that you should love one another. Okay, the reason he makes this shift, the reason that he goes through this, is because they know it. They've heard this. They've heard the command. It is a moral imperative for Christians to love one another. That was the whole idea behind the gospel. When Jesus Christ was here, his whole thing was love. Everything that he preached and all that he did, it was about love. So as Christians, the whole message, the whole gospel is to love. It was then, and it still is today. If God expects us to love or has this expectation that we will love as Christ did, it's the same water, Karen. Yeah, and it'll still be there next week. I don't drink a lot of it. If God expects us to love as Christ did, and he expects us to love, he will also empower us. He will give us the power and he give us the ability to love one another, okay? In 1 John 2:7, the love command is referred to by John, and again, this is as the old commandment that they had heard from the beginning, and he was going through. It should not be new for us. Most of us, if you've grown up in the church, if you've been in Sunday school, you know, with your Sunday school teacher or your youth pastor or your parents, if you've grown up in a Christian family, you have heard about love. And that you need to love people, and that it is there. This is the message which we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. It is all about love. It's from the very beginning. And a lot of times what we want to do is we want to take that and say, well, that was something back then, and we want to pass it off. I know working with the youth, when I started with them here, you know, 8 years ago, and I had this group growing up, we spent a lot of time talking about, say, some basics. And as they grew older and they needed more information or needed something meatier than just the basics, and I was teaching them the meatier stuff, the younger ones who came in, they are now getting this meaty stuff, but they don't have any of the basics. And somehow and now I'm just talking for me, somehow I need to find a way to make sure that those who are coming into the youth group and working their way through get the basics. And sometimes we have to go back to the beginning, the thing that we knew, and I need to make sure that they know it's about love and not just going out and doing these things. And so there's that balance. And that's what John is saying. That's what John was talking about, is that it's something that's new, and yet it's something that's old and working there. And so there's that balance that needs to be done. And when he was talking in chapter 2, it was all on doctrine. Doctrine is the essence of the gospel. Doctrine is about the character of God, about human sin, about the mediator. Jesus Christ, who died, is the God-man. It's about his life and death and resurrection. But it's also equally important, not just the doctrine from chapter 2, but in this part in chapter 3, it's the essence of the gospel. It's the moral imperative. What command is given to us to go out and do something? It's not just doctrine, and it's not just our moral things or our ethics. The ethics part of it is what do we do? How do we respond if Jesus Christ has called us to do that? And we have to have both. You cannot live the gospel and just live it in the doctrine of it, the rules of it. And you cannot live the gospel and live in just the moral part of it. You have to have the doctrine and the moral and doctrine and the ethics together. They go hand in hand. And John sees that. He knows that. And so that's why he talked about the doctrine of it in chapter 2, and now in chapter 3 he's coming back and telling us what our response and our moral part of it is supposed to be. Our love for one another is demanded by the character of God, but it is also empowered by the brightness of the God who is light and life. So they have to go together. And in 2:24 he says, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. And so applying that and using that and going through with that. Sometimes it's easy in knowing about this and hearing about that to push the loving each other aside. We've always heard that from the beginning. We need to make sure we stick on that. And John, when he writes, he is writing in black and white. And he wants to make sure that we don't pass over love and loving each other as something that, oh, that's what we did back then, we're not doing it now. He has something to say, and he wants to make sure that we hear it. And we desperately need to hang on to that, especially in today's world. In youth group, we were talking, in Sunday school, we were talking a little bit about love and how we have such a distorted view of what love is. And a lot of that comes from the media around us and society and different things. We don't really know what love is and how to truly love somebody. And John wants to make sure that we know what godly love is like and how to do that. And so that is why he's writing this section. There are two main headings. The first one is the evidence of love, and that is what love proves. The second one is the essence of love. What is the essence of love? What it really is. And it's kind of split up into three sections, and we're going to talk about the evidence of love, but we have to jump to verses 14 and 15. And once we get the essence of love, the evidence of love, we'll come back to the essence, and then we have to go back to the beginning that we read, which will talk about Cain. And then we'll come and finish off with talking about Jesus Christ and what love is. So let's look at it. If you open up again, if you have them still, verses 14 and 15. So we'll come back to 12 and 13 later. Verses 14 and 15. And it says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Okay? The proof of spiritual life, how do you know you have spiritual life? You love your brother. And so John is talking about this. It's a spiritual resurrection. It's a spiritual life that comes in loving. In John's mind, as he's going through this, love and light and life, they all go together. They can all be intermingled. In the same way, hatred and darkness and death. Okay? And so that's where he's going with this. He who does not love abides in death. That's why he can say that. Because you are either here or you are over there. There is no real middle ground. A lot of times we want to stay in the middle ground. We can say something like, I don't love that person, but I don't hate him either. See, we can say, well, I don't love him, but I don't hate him. But John says, if you don't love somebody, then you hate them. There is no middle ground. You cannot necessarily be neutral. Either you are expressing love toward them or you're not. You can't stay somewhere in the middle on that. He says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Now he's even going on and saying, if you hate somebody, it's as good as murdering them. And what does it mean to murder somebody? And where is he going with that? And what he might be thinking, John might be thinking, you know, well, I remember when Jesus was here and he did the Sermon on the Mount and he spoke in the book of Matthew. We have it there. And Tim, can you put the next slide up there? Matthew chapter 5. Tim, next. There we go. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount. Okay, and he's talking, this section is titled Murder. Okay, and he's talking about murder. And he said, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Now listen to this. This is what Jesus is saying. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment again. Anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. A little bit later on this morning, we're actually going to be taking communion. And I thought of this part, you know, we come up and we take communion, and we're talking about our love and how we love each other. And some of this is saying, if you know you're not right, if you even have bad thoughts, you might as well murder the person. And the idea behind having the bad thoughts or the hate towards somebody is wanting that person to not be around. If you hate somebody, you're saying, I don't even want you around me. You might as well, and in John's mind where he's going with this, is you might as well have murdered them because you have the same thoughts. And that's a little bit of what Jesus is saying here in this section, that hating somebody is just as bad as murdering somebody, not wanting them around, wishing that that person was not there. And that's kind of where John is going. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And it's this idea of having a lifestyle, a perpetual lifestyle of disliking people or hating people. John is not saying that if you've committed murder, you'll never make it into heaven and you cannot have eternal life. That's not what he's saying, because we have the example of the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross found salvation while he was hanging there, and Jesus told him he'd be in heaven. But again, it is that lifestyle. John also makes another shift here. And when he's talking in verse 14, he's talking to the Christian, and he speaks about them having brotherly love. And then he goes on, and at the last part of that, he talks about love in specific. So he's saying it's not just love toward fellow brothers or sisters in Christ in the church, but having love for all people. And he repeats this. He repeats this over and over again of having love for our brothers in different verses, in different sections. Most of the time, as John is addressing them, addressing the people here, he calls them little children or dear children. He uses terms of endearment. But in this one part, he's talking about in brethren and saying, as we have a relationship with each other, we need to love each other. But it goes beyond that. And it goes on, and Paul expressed it in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. It says this, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. So we need to be loving all people, but we really need to be careful that we're loving each other and we're kind and considerate to each other. It is a lifestyle. You can have a lifestyle of love or a lifestyle of hate. And it is a lifestyle because it's present tense. We talked about it a couple weeks ago where he's talking in present tense, not something that was something that happened then. The very life you live now, are your deeds, the things that you're doing, are they things of love or the things of death. Loving one another is not a trivial thing. It is not optional. It is demanded. It is required. It is critically important. It has eternal importance to us. Love is a matter of life and death. But if love is so important to us, if love is so important, and we talk about it and needing to love each other, how do we practice it? How do we put love into practice? How do we live out love? And that would be the essence of love. And what we need to do now is jump up to verse 12 of this chapter, 3:12, and we'll read 12 and 13. And some of you might know the story of Cain and Abel from Genesis chapter 4. And that's where John is going. John is going back to Cain and Abel. So here we go. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. So John wants this. John is in this part, he's trying to say, if love is so important, if we have to live love, how do we do it? Here's an example of what not to do, what love is not. And then a little bit later on, we'll get into this is what an example of love is. And so he starts off with Cain, and he talks about it. And he says, why did Cain kill his brother? Not because... Where am I going with this? Cain, not because Abel was evil or Abel was doing things bad, but Abel, the stuff that Abel did, when you read into it, Abel gave the first of his flock. Okay? What Abel gave to God was righteous before God, and what Cain did was not. And so Cain killed his brother Abel out of jealousy. If you read into the story, Cain was a farmer, and he grew fruit and grew grain and stuff. And somewhere along the line, he decided to give an offering to God. But Abel, who was a farmer, gave the first of his flock. See, and because he gave the first of it, God saw it as righteous. And so Cain kills Abel out of jealousy. Not because Abel was evil, not because he'd done bad things, but because of his righteousness. Because of the good things that he had done. John expresses it this way in John, the book of John, 3:19 through 20. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. See, Jesus Christ came and he lived in this world. And when Jesus was here, his goodness exposed the badness and the evil deeds of the people around him. And it was because of that reason that they killed him. They killed Jesus not because of the bad things he did, but because he was so good, it exposed their badness. And that's what John is trying to say. Do not be like Cain and let the evilness, let the bad things be exposed. It was Abel's goodness. He goes on, and in verse 13 of this, he says, do not wonder that the world hates you. If you are living the Christian life, and if you are really loving the way that Christ wants you to, don't be surprised that the world hates you. The world hated Jesus Christ while he was here because of the good things that he was doing. And because his goodness exposed their evilness. If you are actually loving, then there are times that the world will hate you. And so that's what he's done. So now in contrast to that, John wants us to look at the example of Christ. And if you pick up at verse 16, this is how we know what love is. See, he wants to give us an example. You want to know what love is and you want to know how to live love? This is what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Jesus Christ, by his very death on a cross, revealed what love was. And as he lived here, he did love. There's an oughtness to this. Again, we talked about what we ought to be doing. Ought to lay down our lives. There are three reasons, and I'm not going to get into them really in depth. I'll just go over them real briefly. Three reasons. Jesus' death is the supreme example of love. The first one, it involved the greatest possible sacrifice. He gave up his life. Jesus was willing to lay down his life. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for a friend." Okay? So Jesus was willing to give up his life for us. The second thing, it meets our deepest needs. He laid down his life for us. See, it was self-sacrificing. What we needed the most, Jesus Christ, when he laid down his life and when he was willing to die, he paid that and he met our deepest need. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says this, "If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned," okay, there's the self-sacrifice. "If I give away everything I have and deliver my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing." See, to sacrifice without the idea of love, without that being there, it's not anything. But Christ's love for us, it was so great that he was willing to lay down his life. Not only does Jesus' death embody love because it was the greatest possible sacrifice done for the greatest good, it's also done with the greatest possible motive. Okay? The greatest possible motive. And the motive was to bring glory to God the Father. Hebrews 12:2 tells us that Jesus endured the cross. Why? For the joy set before him. Okay? Jesus, when he paid for us, the greatest possible sacrifice to meet our deepest need, and it had the greatest possible motive. The glory of God and our own delight and joy in it was the reason that he was willing to do that. It should be our motive. If you take those three things and you put them together, you get the definition of what Christian love is. And here is a definition for Christian love. Christian love is finding one's own joy in actively working for the joy of another, even at the self-sacrificial cost of one's own private pleasure, all for the glory of God. I'm going to say it again one more time. Christian love is finding your joy in actively working for the joy of somebody else, even at the self-sacrificial cost of your own private pleasure, all for the glory of God. That would be a definition of Christian love. That is what God has called us to do, is to be willing to give away what we have, willing to love somebody enough to give to them. Verse 16, the second half of it says, "We ought to lay down our lives for our brother." Again, there's that oughtness. If you're going to live the Christian life, if you're going to have this life of love, you're going to have to do something. And that something is to lay down our lives. Now, you may not get the opportunity to lay down your life and to die for somebody. Okay? That could be the ultimate example. Just think if you had the opportunity to go and die for somebody. Throw yourself on a bomb so that they wouldn't have to. Or you see a bus coming after them and you love them so much, you'll jump in front of the bus and push them out of the way. See, we see it in the movie all the time. That sacrifice. But some of us have a little bit of money. And we could share that with somebody. Seeing somebody who needs something and sharing money with them. Maybe it's time, spending time with them. Verse 17 can kind of, this love, this sacrificial love can all be wrapped up in verse 17. Let's look at verse 17. It says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him?" Two things in there. One is possession, the world's possession. We talked about it a while ago, actually when we were doing the Camp White Branch, the split up, the bios, the life. You have something of this world. Possessions, money, anything like that. And you see somebody else in need. Okay? I have it. You don't have it. You need it. I ought to give it to you. That would be love. That would be the love that Christ is talking about. That's what he's talking about here. If I have something that I could share with somebody and I know that they need it, but I don't share it with them, then I'm not passing on God's love to them. That's what John is trying to talk about here. That's where he's going. Seeing a brother in need or a sister in need and not meeting that, either with time or with money. There's another one, spiritual resources. Sometimes a word of encouragement or an exhortation, you just see somebody who is just down the dumps, just bad things are happening. And all you have to do is share an encouraging word with them, and you could lift their spirits. All of this is love, expressing Jesus' love, God's love with somebody, and letting them know about it. Pastor Frank, I didn't tell him to do this. I'm excited to talk to Frankie. Frankie did that very thing at 1 o'clock this morning. Breakfast is cheap there, okay? If you go early in the morning, you can get steak and egg for $2.99 if you want. I will not be there, okay? I guarantee at that time I'm not going out to eat. But you see somebody in need, and the Spirit speaks to you, and you know you can meet their need, $2.99, you can buy them a breakfast. Express God's love to him and let him see that. Loving one another is important to us as Christians. And it is indeed a matter of life and death. If we're expressing love to people because of God and because of Jesus Christ, that life, that very lifestyle within us is there. If not, it's death. It is a matter of life and death. It will be lives of assurance as we work and we do this. We'll know that as God's seed, as God is growing in us and he's leading us, as we continue to love people and see their needs and start meeting their needs, we know that God is living within us and that God is there with us. Our lives, our very lives as we're doing this, will be bringing glory to God. Last month and again next week, we'll have the opportunity to go work at the Portland Rescue Mission. And they know we're from a church. And the guys there, they were just so excited. I got emails back from them saying how appreciative they were that we were there sorting barrels. All we were doing is sorting barrels of clothing. But just that expression, being able to express to them that as Christians, we want to make a difference. We want to love. They were just excited about it. And they're looking forward to us coming back. I've got emails from them and stuff. So just finding ways somehow to express God's love and to be in this world and to let the world see how God loves and how God has called us to. So what John is trying to say here is, as Christians, if God's love is truly in us, we need to walk in this world and we need to express that love to this world. That's what it's all about. And I'm going to close it. We'll have a song in a minute, but I'm going to close it. Listen to this. This is how John closes this section. This is verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and with truth. The whole idea is, don't just talk about loving the world.